Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. One of the fronts, but just one of the fronts of the government's assault on the free exercise of religion and on the individual's conscience actually comes at the pharmacist's counter, where the pharmacist, who for reasons of conscience may not want to dispense certain drugs, especially abortifacients, those that he believes and knows as a pharmacist will cause the effects of an abortion. He doesn't want to do that. That recently came to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, overruling a lower court's ruling. They said pharmacists have to do it in the state of Washington. What does this mean for everyone else who tries to live by their conscience? Joining us to talk about this case, Fred Eckel. He's president of Christian Pharmacists Fellowship International, based in Bristol, Tennessee. Fred, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What message did the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco send to pharmacists nationwide about their consciences?
Well, the message seems to be that your obligation to the patient is more important than your moral perspective on the drugs that you're dispensing. That the patients need to get a drug quickly takes precedent when there is no one else to dispense the drug.
How would you respond to that argument?
It's a difficult argument to debate, I guess, because it brings out the dilemma between my responsibility as a professional to meet a need versus my responsibility to my conscience for doing what I think is ethically right. And I happen to think that we should have a right of conscience as a professional and not be forced to do something that I personally disagree with. I've only seen newspaper reports on that Ninth Circuit, but it seemed to be suggesting that it's okay if there's another pharmacist in that same pharmacy for you not to dispense and let the other pharmacist dispense. But when there is no other pharmacist present, then you have to go ahead and dispense it, even though you object to it morally.
So what is your moral objection as a pharmacist to these abortifacient drugs?
Well, you know, that different pharmacists, I guess, would look at that differently. But if you think that life begins at conception, and then something that interferes with that development of that fetus or baby, as I would say, then that would be where your moral objection comes. And Plan B, which I think was the primary issue in this particular case, would stop a fetus from developing, have it rejected, and thus stop a life.
Are there others besides Plan B, the specific drugs that are of moral concern to you and so many other pharmacists?
Well, I mean, some pharmacists go as far as to look at an oral contraceptive, which has one potential mechanism of preventing implantation, and saying that I don't even feel comfortable dispensing oral contraceptive medication. There's a fine, I guess, you know, there's a gradient in there from that position up to an abortifacient like Plan B or some of the other ones that might be used. But that's where the problem comes from the conscience of pharmacists.
So has the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, in effect, for those affected by its decision, it's not a nationwide decision, of course, but more of a regional one, the state of Washington, have they effectively eliminated in principle, the right of conscience for pharmacists and other healthcare workers involved in the potential dispensing of these drugs.
Well, that's my reading of it. You know, that if I'm opposed to doing that as a pharmacist, I would have to find another place to work, because according to that interpretation, I would be forced to do what I do not agree I want to do.
What can, other than finding a new place of work, what can a conscientious pharmacist do when required to do this?
Well, I think a pharmacist needs to express himself to his employer. They need to sort of talk about the issues that could come up, develop plans and mechanisms to handle it so that the patient's need is met at the same time that the pharmacist's conscience is met. And the particular situation, as I read this court case, you know, said that it's not all right to refer to a neighboring pharmacy that would dispense it, using the example of sort of a rural situation where it might take too much time to get to the pharmacy that would dispense. And to me, that's a little bit extreme. I think there are very few circumstances where the situation that seemed to be present in this case that the opinion came down on actually occurred. And so I think that there are community ways that you could handle this if you did it ahead of time and not wait to the last minute and then in the situation itself and then try to deal with it after the fact.
Does a pharmacist have, let's say outside the purview of this decision, does a pharmacist have the right simply not to carry these drugs? Let's say he's he doesn't work for a larger store or he doesn't work for a larger pharmacy. Does he have the right simply not to carry these drugs at all?
Well, my opinion is yes. Again, I only read the newspaper account of this, but it seemed to suggest here that you didn't even have that right, that if it was a legal product, you had to have it and make it available. You know, if you go a step further, though, there are certain situations where a pharmacist would like to have the right not to dispense a particular medication, even if it's, quote, a legal prescription written by a physician. It, you know, may have something to do with an addict who is getting excessive amounts of medication. And so there is clearly a professional obligation that pharmacists have to make sure that any medication they dispense is appropriate for the situation. With patients going to more than one doctor, there's always a possibility that one physician may not know all the drugs a patient has been prescribed by other physicians, and you could get contraindicated drugs ending up being prescribed. And in those circumstances, the pharmacist not only should have a right, but I think has a moral obligation not to dispense something and put a patient at harm.
Finally, then, if you are trying to prevent this from happening where you are, you're a pharmacist and you have conscious concerns here, what's the best steps that you can take with your patients to make it clear to them what your conscience prescribes for how you dispense drugs?
And so, you know, now I'm going to sort of just give you my personal response to the situation that I might find myself in. And as I share this with you, I would point out that not every pharmacist would come down as I'm going to suggest. But for me, I would know already in my community where there are other outlets where this patient could get the drug that they are seeking. And when the patient came in, I would share with them my position of why I was uncomfortable filling it, but say, here is a resource where you can go. I've already reviewed. They have the product, and I would refer you to that pharmacy. as I read this response, it seemed like that would not be allowed legally, according to this opinion from the Ninth Circuit Court. But I would think for most patients, they might understand and would not, you know, get upset if I was still trying to help them achieve what they have a right to achieve under the law, but I would not be violating my own conscience by actually performing the act. Now, I have heard some pharmacists who would not want to even facilitate the patient getting it in any way, and that's not a position that I personally would take.
Fred Eckel is president of Christian Pharmacists Fellowship International, based in Bristol, Tennessee. You can find out more about Christian Pharmacists Fellowship International at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Fred, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
There was a time when one of the basic devotional resources that a person had with them was their hymnal. Do you remember seeing your grandmother's hymnal? It was a little tiny book with just the words and no music to the hymns there. It had the Psalms in there as well. It was her personal hymnal. That's a very old-fashioned idea, but with a very new-fashioned technology coming from Concordia Publishing House, as the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's the ebook edition of Lutheran Service Book, the latest hymnal from Concordia Publishing House, making your hymnal, although it was so much before, now because it goes on your device, it can go wherever you go with great convenience, making your hymnal that personal devotional resource that it always has been. Lutheran Service Book, ebook edition. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Lutheran Service Book, ebook edition. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to start out talking about sibling rivalries. I grew up in a family of five boys, and I was right in the very middle of those five boys. I know exactly what sibling rivalries both look and sound like. How do Christian parents manage them? It's not a matter of being able to stop them. It's really managing them. Then we'll take up the subject, the vocation of student, with Dr. Corey Moss, Assistant Professor of History at Hillsdale College. That's hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.